Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're really zeroing in on Dern Shoes Ltd. They're a Lucklin-based shoemaker and retailer, nearly 100 years old, actually, and currently fourth largest in the country.
Quite established, then.
Exactly. And our goal today is, well, pretty specific. We want to give you the kind of deep strategic analysis of Dern that you'll need for the upcoming ACCA SBL exam.
Yeah, that's the plan. We're drawing heavily on the pre-scene analysis from atwnc.com for this.
So think of this as getting you right up to speed efficiently, focusing on what really matters strategically for Dern.
Precisely. We'll cover the, you know, the industry context, Dern's own operations, where they sit strategically, the challenges they're facing.
And maybe look ahead a little too.
Yeah, potential future considerations, all based squarely on those atwnc.com materials.
So where should we start? Maybe the Lucklin shoe industry overall.
Sounds good. Okay, so paint us a picture. What's the landscape Dern is operating in? What are the sort of key features? Okay, well, the Lucklin shoe manufacturing and retailing sector, it's pretty substantial. We're talking about $3,750 million in revenue back in 20X4.
Wow, okay. Big market.
Yeah. And it's seen some growth, you know, steady, maybe not spectacular, but averaging about 1.71% annually since 2000XX.
And looking ahead.
The forecast suggests a slight slowdown, maybe around 1.06% average growth per year over the next 5 years.
So a mature market, perhaps. Growth isn't exactly leaping.
That's a good way to put it. It suggests significant expansion might be, well, tougher to achieve now.
Right. And it sounds like it'd be pretty competitive. Who are the main players? Who's Dern up against?
Yeah, very competitive. At the top, you've got five big names really dominating. Flamingo, Rego, Parrish, Dern themselves, and Better Be.
Okay.
Together, they hold over 45% of the market.
So nearly half the market between just five companies.
Exactly. But what's really interesting is the rest of it, the other, you know, 55% or so, it's highly fragmented.
Fragmented how?
Split among more than 200 smaller organizations.
200. Wow.
Yeah. So for a company like Dern, it means they've got brand recognition, sure. But there's this long tail of smaller, maybe more agile competitors constantly snapping at their heels, so to speak.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's break down those big competitors a bit. What makes them tick? Rego, for example.
Rego, yeah. They're really focused on mass production, especially in the casual shoe space for like the 18 to 30 crowd. And they've done a good job building brand loyalty there.
Right. And Flamingo.
Flamingo also uses mass production, but tends to aim more towards the lower end of the market. Casual and children's shoes, mainly.
And Parrish. They sound different.
They are. Parrish is at the premium end. High quality, handcrafted, leather, formal shoes. They're targeting adults with, you know, more disposable income.
Got it. And Better Be.
Better Be, they seem to focus on mass-produced, semi-formal, and children's shoes, maybe positioning themselves as more value-conscious.
Okay. And Dern, as we said, they're unusual because they seem to play in all these spaces, formal, semi-formal, casual, kids. How do they manage that kind of breadth?
Well, that's definitely a key part of their strategy, being across all four main types. They do it with a sort of dual manufacturing approach.
Cool.
Yeah. Most of the mass production, they outsourced that about 15 years ago to a company called Exco in Totland. That was for cost efficiency, you know.
Makes sense.
But they kept a factory in Lucklin, a smaller one, where they do the handcrafting for their formal range.
Ah, okay. So they keep the high-skill stuff in-house.
Exactly. And that Lucklin factory also handles their R&D. This mix lets them compete at different price points and cater to different needs. But managing both, it adds complexity, for sure.
I can imagine. So how do these shoes actually get to the customers in Lucklin? What are the main ways people buy shoes there?
Right. Well, domestic sales are definitely the main engine. About 85% of all revenue comes from within Lucklin.
Okay.
And within that, traditional shops, you know, brick and mortar retail, that's still the biggest channel. It accounted for about 60% of industry revenue in 20X4.
60%. Still dominant then. What about online?
Online's been growing, definitely. It's now around 25% of the market. But it's worth noting, most online players currently only deliver within Lucklin.
Interesting limitation. And exports.
Exports make up the rest, about 15%. That's mainly the higher value handcrafted stuff usually sold through distributors.
Okay. So for Dern, their 75 physical stores must be incredibly important. But that online strategy, just click and collect, that feels, I don't know, a bit behind the times.
It really does. It leverages their stores, yes, but it likely restricts their reach. In today's market where convenience is, well, everything.
Yeah, it seems like a potential bottleneck.
Absolutely. It's definitely something we need to circle back to when we talk about their specific challenges. But before we dive deeper into Dunn itself, maybe we should touch on the big external pressures, the things affecting everyone in the industry.
Good idea. What are the major headwinds these shoe companies are facing?
Well, the accountancy analysis points to really intense competition, and not just on price. It's also about, you know, the range of products, the quality, how good their marketing is, brand image, how well they distribute things.
So competition across the board.
Pretty much. Plus, fashion trends move so fast now, being able to get new styles out quickly, that's becoming a massive advantage. Flamingo apparently is quite good at that.
Speed to market. Okay.
And then there's the economy. The Lukeland economy slowing down, that's a big one. It's pushing people towards lower priced shoes.
Which could squeeze companies like Dern. Especially with their mid-market stuff.
Exactly. It puts pressure on margins, especially for those semi-formal and maybe even casual lines.
Are there other big external forces beyond the economy?
Oh, definitely. Ethical sourcing, environmental sustainability. These are huge now. Consumers care more and more about where materials come from, about labor practices, about the environmental footprint.
Especially with manufacturing, often overseas.
Precisely. For Dern, outsourcing to Exco and Totland, that's something they need to be really mindful of. Is Exco meeting those standards?
And the flip side is, maybe companies like Parrish, with their made-in-Lukeland focus, can use that to their advantage.
Potentially, yes. It plays into that desire for local quality, maybe more ethically transparent production. And then there's the broader environmental stuff, carbon emissions, what happens to shoes when they're thrown away. The whole industry faces that.
You mentioned online growth earlier. Does that bring its own problems, too?
It certainly does. High return rates are a major headache for online shoe retailers.
Because of sizing.
Yeah, sizing is a big part of it. People order multiple sizes or it just doesn't fit right. And with free returns being so common,
it eats into profits.
Significantly. And the lack of global standardized sizing doesn't help either. Then you got technology.
Ah, yes, the disruptors.
Things like 3D printing for, say, customized shoes. Or intelligent footwear, shoes with tech built in, even VR and AR for trying shoes on virtually. These are all bubbling up and could really change the game.
It definitely sounds like a dynamic, demanding industry. Okay, let's pivot now specifically to Dern Shoes LTD, nearly 100 years in business. What's their core reputation? What do people think of when they hear Dern?
Well, that long history has helped them build a solid reputation for reasonably priced, well-made shoes, good value, basically, for adults and kids.
And they adopted that Made in Lukeland mark early on.
They did, but specifically for their formal shoe range, which suggests, you know, a long-term commitment to quality, at least in that higher-end segment of their business.
Okay. We touched on their manufacturing before, that mix of local and outsourced. Can you flesh that out a bit more?
Sure. So about 15 years back, they moved most of their mass production, the semi-formal casual children's shoes, to Exco in Totland, primarily a cost-saving move.
Right.
But they kept that smaller factory running in Lane in Lukeland. And that serves two main purposes. One, it's where they handcraft the formal shoes, keeping that made in Lukeland quality.
And the second?
It's also their hub for R&D. Their head office and main warehouse are also in Lane, so they're actually quite a big local employer there.
Okay. And who are the key stakeholders here? Who has a vested interest in Dern doing well?
Well, obviously the shareholders. The founder's family still holds the majority, about 70%, though they're not involved in management day to day.
Interesting. Who else?
Employees own about 10%, directors 15%, and others 5%. Then you have the staff themselves, who seem quite loyal, low turnover, which is generally a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Customers, of course. And then key external relationships. Exco, their manufacturer, DT Global Transport, who handles their shipping, various other suppliers, their bank, and industry bodies like the National Shoe Union and the Lukeland Shoe Association.
That staff loyalty sounds positive.
Yeah.
But you mentioned Exco. The pre-scene analysis suggested some friction there.
Yes, that's flagged as a significant concern in the accountancy materials. It seems over the last couple of years, Dern's been having more and more problems with the quality of shoes coming from Exco.
Right, what kind of problem?
Leading to more customer returns. And they've also had delays in getting orders delivered from Exco.
Ouch, that sounds like a major risk. Reputation, stock availability.
Exactly, it hits them on multiple fronts. Interestingly, their relationship with DT Global Transport for shipping is described as excellent, so distribution itself doesn't seem to be the issue. It's the upstream manufacturing link.
Okay, let's look inside Dern. How is the company actually organized? What's the structure like? How do decisions get made?
It's pretty traditional, really. A functional top-down hierarchy.
Meaning?
Meaning clear reporting lines, well-defined departments, usually makes for efficiency and established routines. The board looks pretty standard, too. Exec chair, CEO, CFO, COO, and heads for commercial, people, IT, HR, plus some non-execs.
And the people at the top.
Most of the directors have been there a long time, apparently have good working relationships. But the analysis does suggest a culture that's quite risk-averse.
Which could be good or bad, depending on the situation.
Right. In a stable market, maybe fine. In a fast-changing one like footwear, it could hold them back.
And how are the different bits of the business set up below the board?
Well, at the head office in Lane, you've got your core functions. Finance, purchasing, business development, HR, IT, R&D, customer service.
Standard stuff.
Yeah. And then operationally, you've got separate teams managing the warehouse, the Lukeland factory, and then the network of, 75 retail stores across the country. The managers of these areas make up the senior management team reporting up to the board directors.
Okay, let's talk products. We know they cover all four types.
Yeah.
How do they actually position themselves within each segment? Take formal shoes?
Right, formal. That's their premium play. Handcrafted in Lukeland, leather, got the mill mark. They target the 30 to 50 age group, and they price themselves just under Parrish, who's seen as the market leader there.
Okay. Semi-formal.
That's mass-produced by Exco in Totland. Uses a mix of leather and synthetic materials. And interestingly, Dern is actually the market leader in this segment.
Really? Who are they targeting?
Primarily customers over 55. Seems they've found a strong niche there.
Right. What about casual?
Casual shoes, also mass-produced by Exco,
yeah.
Using synthetic materials. They target the 18 to 30 group here, but this is where they seem to be struggling.
They're struggling how?
They're up against Rego, who dominates that youth market and has really strong brand loyalty. Dern finds it hard to make inroads there, it seems.
I see. And finally, children's shoes.
Another area where the Dern leads the market. Mass-produced, leather, usually. And they have a really strong reputation for their fitting service in the stores. That seems key for parents.
So strong in semi-formal and children's, decent in formal, but weak in casual youth. Hmm. And they offer about 20 styles per category.
Roughly, yeah. And they review those ranges every year, tweaking them based on sales and, you know, what's trending in fashion.
It really sounds like their strengths are with the, let's say, more established demographics.
Yeah.
Connecting with younger buyers seems to be the challenge. How does the whole process work at Dern? From an idea for a shoe to it actually being on a shelf.
Okay, so it starts with R&D in Lukeland. They do the research, design the shoes, create the lasts, the foot molds, and make prototypes.
Prototypes get tested, I assume.
Rigorously. Lab tests for durability, safety, all that. Then manufacturing splits depending on the type.
Right. Formal in Lukeland, the rest outsourced to Exco.
Correct. After production, there are quality checks at both places. Then everything gets shipped to the central warehouse back in Lane, Lukeland.
And from the warehouse?
From there, it's picked and packed. Either sent out to their 75 retail stores or put aside for the online click and collect orders.
And those stores are really the main event for sales, aren't they?
Absolutely. 75% of their total sales come through the retail outlets. The online channel with that click and collect limitation is only about 12% of revenue right now.
Let's talk about their technology. You mentioned some bits earlier. It sounds a bit mixed.
That's a good word for
yeah.
it. A bit of a patchwork, maybe. They use off-the-shelf software for finance and HR.
Is it good or bad?
Well, the HR system is apparently fine, fit for purpose, but the finance system is described as somewhat outdated.
Okay. What about managing stock?
They put in a new inventory system recently. It gives them good real-time data on stock in the shops, which is great. But it doesn't seem to give them full visibility across the whole supply chain. Updates from, say, the warehouse or Exco only happen weekly.
So potential blind spots there.
Could be. They do have some advanced tech in the Lukeland factory for parts of the formal shoe production. And the warehouse uses automated picking systems for getting orders ready for the shops.
But not for online orders.
No, processing the online click and collect orders is still a manual job in the warehouse. And crucially, their actual e-commerce website platform is described as having limited functionality.
Which hinders what? Online marketing.
Exactly. It makes it harder to do effective digital marketing, maybe limits payment options, that sort of thing. Probably holds back online sales growth. They do have an intranet for staff, though, for information and feedback.
Given all this, what are the main risks Dern themselves see? What keeps them up at night?
Well, their risk register, according to the analysis, highlights several key things. Supply chain disruption is a big one, especially concerning Exco.
Understandable, given the issues.
Yeah. Then there's the worry about a potential economic downturn in Lukeland. The limitations of their online offering no home delivery basic platform that's seen as a risk, too.
What else?
Potential for product recalls. The ongoing quality issues from Exco are explicitly mentioned. The environmental impact of their operations and the industry. And how customers might react negatively to environmental concerns.
Okay. The company website usually gives some clues about their philosophy. What about Dern's mission, vision, values?
Right. Their mission talks about providing well-made, reasonably priced shoes and making sure customers have an enjoyable experience.
Seems straightforward.
Their vision is pretty ambitious, to be the first choice for shoes for the whole family in Lukeland.
First choice? Bold.
Yeah. And their values. They emphasize respecting their history, focusing on quality, both product and service, and a long-term commitment to their staff.
That commitment to staff seems to align with the high satisfaction levels you mentioned.
It does, yes.
Okay, finally, let's look at the numbers and performance indicators over the last few years. What's the story there? Market share, profit, satisfaction.
Okay, so the data from AlicoJobandSee.com shows a bit of a mixed bag. Market share has actually been drifting downward slightly. It was 9.9% in 20XN and fell to 9.4% by 20X4.
Not ideal. Revenue.
Revenue has fluctuated a bit year on year, but ended up at $352.5 million in 20X4. So not really growing strongly there either.
But what about profitability?
It's more positive. Their gross profit margin has been pretty stable, actually, hovering around 26, 27%. And in 20X4, that was slightly above the industry average.
So they're managing costs or pricing reasonably well, despite maybe losing a bit of share?
Seems that way. But here's a worrying trend. Customer satisfaction. It's been declining.
Oh, how much?
It peaked at 8.7 out of 10 in 20X1, but by 20X4, it had dropped at 7.5. It's still above the industry average, but the downward trend is a concern.
Could that be linked to the Exo quality issues?
Very possibly. It's a plausible connection. But interestingly, staff satisfaction has remained consistently high and stable, well above the industry average throughout that period.
Hmm. So happy staff, but increasingly less happy customers. That's quite a divergence.
It really is. Something to think about there.
Okay, right. We've covered a lot of ground there, really digging into Dern Shoes LTD using that ACOWNC.com pre-scene analysis. If you're prepping for the ACCA SBL exam, what are the absolute key takeaways you should be focusing on from all this?
I think the big picture is a company with, you know, venerable history or really solid footing in the Lukeland market. Their mixed manufacturing, that local craft plus outsourced scale lets them play across the board. And that big retail network is a definite asset for service and reach, but
right.
They're definitely facing some serious strategic challenges, those quality and delivery problems with Exco. That's a major threat to their reputation for well-made shoes.
Yeah, that seems critical.
Then there's the online strategy, or maybe the lack of one. It just feels underdeveloped for today's market, leaving money on the table and potentially losing ground to more digitally savvy competitors.
Right.
And finally, they need to figure out how to connect better with those younger consumers, especially in the casual market, while also navigating these rising ethical and environmental expectations from everyone.
So thinking purely from that ACCA SBL perspective, putting yourself in the shoes of someone analyzing Dern for the exam, what strategic questions should be front and center? What are the big dilemmas or opportunities?
Based on this deep dive and the accountancy materials, I think you absolutely have to ask, how can Dern fix or at least seriously mitigate the risks tied to Exco? Can they improve quality control, find alternative suppliers, bring more production back in-house without wrecking their cost structure?
Okay, the supply chain issue. What else?
The online channel. What's the strategic priority here? Do they need to invest heavily in a proper e-commerce platform with home delivery? How can they integrate online better with their strong store network? Moving beyond just click and collect seems vital.
Makes sense.
And then that market positioning piece, how do they genuinely appeal to younger buyers in the casual space? Is it product, marketing, brand image? And alongside that, how do they proactively demonstrate commitment to sustainability and ethics, turning it from a potential risk into maybe even a brand advantage?
Right. So tackling supply chain risk, boosting the digital offering, and refreshing their appeal, especially to younger segments, while managing ethical concerns.
Exactly. These feel like the really pivotal areas where Dern's future success in this quite challenging Lukeland shoe market will likely be decided. Lots of vulnerability, but also potential opportunities if they make the right strategic moves.
Those are definitely crucial strategic considerations for anyone analyzing Dern Shoes LTD. And remember, for an even more detailed breakdown and further support as you prepare for the ACCA SBL exam, do check out the comprehensive resources and expert analysis available over at acabutency.com.
Yeah, definitely worth exploring.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.